Okay.
And it's honoré.
Oh, is it? Okay. What
That's
did I
okay.
say? Honore,
Yeah,
honore.
honoré. Most a lot of people say that. I just
So,
wanted to
how is it?
honoré.
Honore. Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of May 13th, 2019. Well, we have a natural gas compressor station being proposed to be built in the quaint little colonial town of Weymouth, Massachusetts, just south of Boston. The compressor plant is, let's just say it's a bad idea in general, but it's a particularly bad idea to be placed in Weymouth. There's a lot of local opposition to this compressor plant that is grassroots driven out of the obvious necessity to oppose this plant. And we have the good fortune to be speaking with one of them today. We have with us Andrea Honore, who is a concerned resident of Weymouth. And who I gotta make this absolutely clear. Andrea took it upon herself to sit outside of Governor Baker's office every Thursday at lunch for 18 months or so. No, Andrea, welcome to this. Thank you so much for being here. Tell me how long did you sit outside Governor Baker's office?
Thank you for having me. Okay, so from February 28th, 2017.
Mm-hmm.
To July 17th, 2017, every lunch hour that I was at work, I walked the 15 minutes up to the State House, sat in Governor Baker's office for 15 minutes, and then walked back to work.
Did you ask for an opportunity, an audience with the great man himself?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I requested, before I decided to sit, I had requested, you know, online. Because it says, hey, you know, would you like to request a meeting with
mm-hmm.
the governor and this and that, which I think they've since changed that, actually, the wording on that. And as soon as they found out, you know, there was a couple of emails exchanged. But as soon as they found out that it was about the compressor, I got ghosted. There was
really?
nothing after that. So and I also requested, once I started sitting, constituent services is one floor down directly
mm-hmm.
beneath. So I had requested to see him that way as well. But then they're like, oh, no, he doesn't see individuals. He only sees groups. And I said, okay. And then, you know, days pass. And then I go, well, how big does the group have to be? And they're like, well, it doesn't really have to do with groups. It has to do with, you know, he doesn't want to talk about the compressor station.
Really?
And... it was very interesting. It was probably more honest than the current constituent services director would be right now.
Andrew, you look like a mild-mannered, sweet, polite person who you know would not insult anybody. It just so how is it that you were able to find the internal fortitude to march into the governor's office and say, here I stand, I can do no other, right? To quote
yeah.
Martin Luther, right? How did you end up there? What was the pathway? Where did you start out? When was the first time you heard about the Weymouth compressor station? Let's start there.
I had heard about it off and on through social media and the Four River Residents Against the Compressor Station's Facebook page, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to be aware of what's going on around town. So
you live you clearly live near in the town of Weymouth, right?
Somewhere. Yeah, I live
yeah,
in
yeah,
Weymouth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you know, I would share things around just so that people would keep updated.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, in the beginning, it was so procedural. It was still at the federal level. There were all these.
Right.
FERC doesn't make it easy
right.
to comment or make you know your concerns heard.
Very
and
abstract.
Quite
kind of
honestly,
process.
That overwhelmed me. just seeing like all this stuff, I was like, oh, I can't, I just can't. But I would share things to try to keep, you know, awareness up. Well, FERC, sorry, at the time, it was Spectra Energy that was trying, is, you know, doing the Atlantic Bridge project, trying to get this compressor in. Spectra Energy has since been purchased by Enbridge. But Spectra had offered some absurd amount of money to the town of Weymouth to drop official opposition.
That's right. $57 million.
Well, here's the thing. It was the big number that got thrown around was $47 million. Okay. And that was predicated on some other legislation happening. Otherwise, it would be over, I don't know how many years, it would be like cut in less than half. And everybody was like, nope, don't you dare take that money. What good is, you know, what good are new sidewalks going to be or improved parks when nobody wants to live here?
Right. Basically, the town rejected a financial offer to shut up and go away, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, they did. Thank goodness. And so I realized, though, when this happened and the news broke, that people were like, what's a compressor? Wait, what's going on? What's happening? That people still, like, in by and large, didn't know. So I was like, okay, well, let's just start. I just started by, you know, sharing stuff on social media and kind of getting more and more evolved in that and forming my own little, like, half, you know, half official little Facebook page and just kind of like getting stuff out. Because in my line of work, I often use a computer, so it's easier for me to kind of communicate that way.
But your goal was mostly educational, clearly, right?
Yeah, it was just raising awareness.
Raising
awareness. And, you know, we had, and as more people became aware, we kind of formed a little group and, you know, in Facebook, not like an official group or anything. And we would call, I remember we called Elizabeth Warren's office and Ed Markey's office, both senators, for 3 weeks straight. We had tons of people call them for 3 weeks straight to get them to step up and try to do, you know, take action on this. This, you know, at the time it was in, you know, still in the federal level. And they did. They wrote letters. They wrote, started a series of letters. And I was like, oh, look at that. Okay, that's good. But then, you know, things kind of, you know, it's been 4 years, a little over 4 years since it was first proposed to the town. I've only been involved for like three of those years. And it's been a series of ups and downs. And sometimes there are big lulls in action. And then, you know, sometimes it's an avalanche, like what's been happening lately, with the air quality permit hearings and stuff. But, excuse me, I realized that I guess we had, I felt like any of the efforts that I had been working on had kind of plateaued. And, you know, I was working sometimes in conjunction with FRAX and sometimes just winging it on my own. And there was a quote by Senator Pacheco that he had made a comment on a Facebook page or whatever. And he said, you know, you guys are the most determined, you know, people in Weymouth and, you know, the best thing you could do is, you know, show up, get the politicians to know your name, talk with them, educate them if necessary, and this and this and this, right? So up until then, everything I was doing was, you know, online. And just something happened that caused me to say, okay, what all of us are doing is, it's not that it wasn't working, you know, and on all levels at all. It was just that it's Charlie Baker. He seriously doesn't, I don't even know. I don't know. He's like bulletproof somehow. So I thought, well, he's managed to seemingly put all of the protesting, all of the data that people have been giving him, all of the emotional stories of being in incineration zones and stuff, all of that goes into a black hole with him. You never hear him talk about it. He doesn't care to hear about it. And I said, well, you can't ignore somebody sitting right outside your office. But the thing is, like, I started saying that later. The first time I sat was February 28th, 2017. And I was freaked out because I had really never gone to the statehouse before. And I walked up there and I found his office and I looked around and I went, oh boy, okay, well, there are like five couches in here. That's good. And I asked the lady at the desk, I said, you know, is it okay if I sit here for a little bit? And she said, yeah, no problem. Have a seat. You know, it's a semi-public space.
So it's like a hallway outside of an office, right?
Yeah, it's like a waiting room. So I didn't tell anybody that I was going to do this. So I did it once, found that it was perfectly pleasant, very nice.
No barking
not
dogs.
Not a big deal. Nobody, even, you know, the trooper that's outside of the waiting room, you know, was totally nice, didn't care. And then that night, I went to the Senate.
So the first day, you just went and you sat there. You didn't say anything to anybody, just a trial run to sort of see what it looked like.
Well, yeah. And then I decided that, okay, I'm going to do this. And that night was a Senate listening session about climate change. And in front of, I don't know, it was 14, I think, senators. I was like, well, I'm Andrea Honoré. I'm sitting in the governor's office until he takes action on the compressor station. And if you'd like to come visit me, then you can. And I'm sure they were like, okay, that's great. All right. And then, yeah, that's how I started. And it was.
My mental picture, you're standing, there is a hearing on climate change. There are 15 senators behind it, and you stand in front of them and say, I, Andrea Honoré, are going to go to the governor's office every day. I mean, is that, you told it, wow.
Yeah, it's on video. I think it was in Canton, and it's on Canton Public Television. There's a video of me saying that because I figured, well, you know, go big or go home. I can't go out of it now if it's on video. But, you know, the thing is, when I decided to do this, not only was it the physical presence, you know, of sitting there right outside of his, you know, door, his office door, that, you know, he would see me. And as you know, it's devolved into he can avoid me at all costs. I chose it because how many people work that close to your state's capital?
Right.
How many people work that? You know, what an opportunity I had, and I figured, you know, I can be as scared and anxious about this as I want to be. It's going to be a heck of a lot worse if that compressor goes in. And I was really irritated with a public figure or an elected official ignoring thousands of constituents and their concerns. And I'm like, well, I know that I can do this at lunch. I know that I can, you know, anything I've since come to realize, anything that you, any action that you pick, it has to be something that you know you can continue. I had a friend who was like, I want a Green New Deal, and I'm going to, every Thursday at 5:30, I'm going to be outside the state house. Well, it got really cold, you know, and it's just kind of like, you almost have to look at it in a marketing, you know, I'm not in marketing, but in a sense of like, okay, who are you trying to appeal to? Banging your fist on the table is not Charlie Baker's cup of tea. And I wanted to be able to go back there over and over and over. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to sit here for 15 minutes. I'm going to read my book, do some knitting, you know, look at my phone, whatever. And then I'm going to leave. And then that evolved into, I started a blog. Within the first week, I started a blog, sitwithandrea.wordpress.com.
Say that again slow, so, because I've been there. It's sitwithandrea.wordpress.com.
Yeah, because what I would do is I thought, oh, everybody says Charlie Baker's a data guy. Well, okay, I'm going to bring data. I'm going to bring studies. I'm going to bring maps. I'm going to bring stories of people who would be, you know, right next to the pipeline that would feed this thing. And if that pipeline exploded, and one of them was somebody who used to work for Baker when he worked at Harvard, or no, Pilgrim,
right, the
whatever,
place,
Harvard, yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't matter to Charlie Baker.
Did you ever meet Baker? I mean, did you ever actually, he was able to avoid you at all? He was able to avoid you all that time.
Well, it's funny because I'd be out there sitting on the couch, and he'd come out, and I think 4 or 5 times we made eye contact. I would say, you know, at first, you know, it just completely caught me off guard, and my little smart mouth was like, hey, what's up? Instead of going, good afternoon, Governor Baker, which is probably more appropriate. But a couple of times he was with like dignitaries and stuff, and what I wanted to do with this was show people, give an example. You know, I didn't know it was going to work or not. Mm-hmm. Give an example to people of a way that you can do something within your comfort zone that might make an impression. My comfort zone is not banging my fist on the table or getting in everybody's face who walked out of his office. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mine was just going to be sitting there and sitting there and sitting there and hoping that I would provide a fine point to the very strong and long sword of all the other people who are doing the work behind me, you know, doing all the hard work. You know, not behind me, but you know what I mean? Like, I still haven't found the perfect, you know, way to describe it.
You just said the name of this podcast, you know. You're the point of the long sword.
And there you go. And it's relatable. Like, you know, it's something where you can make a little sound bite of it. You can make a little story of it. Oh, somebody's sitting, you know, trying in the governor's office trying to talk mm-hmm. to this guy. Mm-hmm. I knew mm-hmm. he would. I really didn't think he would ever talk to me. Mm-hmm. It was more to, you know, raise awareness again.
Did he know you what you were there for?
I think after a certain point he did. In the 2017 round of uh-huh. of sitting, I stopped sitting because he issued a letter calling for, you know, three studies. He's only done one of them, mm-hmm. health impact assessment. But I said, well, you know, you have to know when to quit, right? I said, take action. Mm-hmm. And, you know, mm-hmm. lesson learned, though. I should have been a little more specific, but whatever.
Well, I mean, I used to, in college, I read books about Gandhi, and Gandhi always got accused of giving up too early, right? For all the successes he had. So you did not give, you did just the right thing. You changed Charlie Baker. He's a different man now for having been there.
No, because you know what? He only did this because it became very uncomfortable for him to not take action. You know, it was a lead up to an election year. Uh-huh. I ended up talking to the Democrat challengers, and there were mm-hmm. three at the time. Mm-hmm. And each one of them met with me, and they came to the site, met with Frax, totally nice, great. And, you know, one of them was a little more extroverted than the other and, you know, was very newsworthy about it. Mm-hmm. And that the attention of State House News. And then that was my first like big interview, you know, mm-hmm. with State House News. It was great. And then more people started to pay attention to what was going on. But this was like day 60, day 70 or whatever. Yeah. I did catch him on Ask the Governor on Public Radio. That was the only time I ever talked to him.
Really?
And if not for the dedicated.
So just people, before you tell the story, so it's Jim and Marjorie, right? And Jim Browdy. Right?
Jim Browdy and Marjorie Egan.
So if you're not from Boston, they're on an NPR station, and these two people have like a 3-hour show every day out of the Boston Public Library, and once a month they have the governor on and to take questions, and you called them up, right?
Yeah, I was able to speak with him. It was like 7 minutes left in the broadcast. And if it wasn't for the dedicated people who called in every single time, because it's actually not even once a month, it's very random. Mm-hmm. And you kind of have to really pay attention to find out when it's going to happen. But people will email and call about the compressor station for years. So Jim and Marjorie, even though they don't, you know, necessarily talk about it, they're fairly well versed in what's been going on. Mm-hmm. So they knew right away who I was, and they put me on.
Really?
And I said, hi, it's Andrea from your waiting room. And yeah, like he didn't have an answer as to why, you know, he never talked to me or pretty much anybody from Weymouth mm-hmm. like, you know, about our concerns. But I think it got him, it must have bothered him because it really wasn't that long after that he issued this letter. And then I stopped sitting. And then 18 months passed. Then his DEP, and I'm going to say he because he's the boss, right, issued an air permit for this thing January 11th and January 14th. I'm like, all right, my butt's back there.
Wow. I think it's brilliant what you've done, because I mean, I know that if it was me, first thing I would do is get 25 other people to come sit with me, and then they'd throw everybody out, right? Or I'd be winking and nodding and trying to catch his eye. But you did the exact right thing. You just sat there, and slowly over the course of time, your moral gravity just builds up, right? You're there every day. You're committed. And how, you know, so, I mean, it's brilliant.
Yeah, and more people hear about what's happening. More groups, more the environmental groups in the state get energized, apparently, I've heard from this. And it's, like, incredibly, deeply, deeply flattering. And also, you know, the reporters, I must mention that, you know, the different news outlets around town that have gotten to know me from 2017. And here I am at day 142 total and day 60 of my 2019 term. And what's been wonderful about the reporters, and without them, I mean, I wouldn't even be... Nobody would know what I was doing.
Right.
They now know more than they ever want to know about gas compressors. Mm-hmm. And they can even, and I really want to, I can see this. They know when the lies are coming out of Charlie Baker's mouth. They know. They know. And because they know too much already.
Right. But I guess just in, so, fascinating story. I would say, correct me if I'm wrong, that you did not have a fully laid out plan when you started. You said, I got to do this. I'm going to go one day and see what it's like and say, okay, now I'm going to commit myself, you know, on a second day, but who knows where it would go, right? And I guess...
I had an idea that based on actually something that I had heard Charlie Baker say on a long ago, Ask the Governor, where he was talking about a lawmaker, I don't know if it was Senator Jalen, but saying that, you know, there was like a, not a quiet persistence. Those words were not used, but thought, okay, maybe that's his jam, you know, just like being so well-mannered and so non-protesty that, you know, nobody could say a word like, oh, no wonder he didn't talk to her because she was X, Y, Z, confrontational or this or that. I lost the train of thought.
So tell me this: what's the take home lesson out of your 2 years of, I think it's fair to say, growth and discovery, right, of your own power is what it sounds like. What's the lesson for the person who's listening to this podcast that may not have made that move yet? You know, they know something's going on. You know, they're not going to go sitting outside the governor's office, but, you know, what's that first baby step that they are? I mean, what would you tell that person?
First of all, I would tell the person that's aware enough to know that something needs to be done to not beat themselves up for not doing the things that they see others doing that's getting the attention and the high visibility. Mm-hmm. To me, being active and engaged starts with just reading articles, talking about what's going on with your friends. Even if you're only operating on that level, that's totally fine because it's a heck of a lot better than somebody who's just, you know, watching cable all the time and doing nothing. Find what works for you that pulls from whatever your background is, that something that comes second nature to you already and is easy for you. It has to be easy. Mm-hmm. I am kind of a pain in the butt, I call myself. So I'm not really affiliated with any group because I would probably embarrass them ultimately or do something wrong that I didn't know I shouldn't do and whatever. Mm-hmm. So, but most people would work very well within, there are a lot of great groups, in that
Mean
allowed
seek
that.
out fellow
Yeah,
travelers.
birds of a feather. Because then what you can do is you gain strength from numbers. There are already strategies and tasks and, you know, campaigns and things that you can kind of slide into. But never, I have somebody who has joined me the most amount of times sitting, because it's weird. People, I was like, no, this is my crazy. I joke, it's not crazy, but this is my crazy. Nobody has to come with me on this. But you know, this couch can fit three, and like the most people I want to have with me is two other people. So, but I only came to that rule because people said, well, can I come sit with you? And I went, you want to sit with me? Oh, okay. So there's a woman named Mary, and she's a Weymouth resident, and she has come the most amount of times to sit with me. And the last time she came to sit with me, maybe it was like a couple weeks ago, and I had some visits. I'm getting visits now because everybody's so frustrated, from reps and senators who will come visit with me.
Really?
On purpose. And that's kind of like, I think that's a big deal to go to your boss, you know, or like whatever, to go to the governor's office and be like, I'm here to protest him. So she's standing there, and you know, there are pictures being taken and this and that. And she's like, I feel so underqualified being here. And I looked at her and I said, Mary, are you crazy? You come from Weymouth. You show up. You sit with me and you go home. That's not a small thing. You show up. And she just didn't feel like, because she wasn't doing, you know, whatever the hell it was I was doing, or whatever Four River residents against the compressor station are doing, that, you know, it didn't have value. It has value.
Right. You should value what you do. And see if it, to your point, right? I mean, because you're right. Mary's doing a great thing and she is undervaluing it. But you just need to recognize that. And I've always been amazed that the ripple effect of the things you do is much bigger than you ever imagine, right? People.
Oh, yeah. Just, I can't conceive of it at all.
Well, we gotta stop at this point, but fascinating discussion. Let me say that I'll put up links to some of this stuff. Certainly the sitwithandrea.wordpress.com as a website on the blog. It'll be at massclimateaction.org/blog. You can find it on Facebook at /massclimateaction. Please share around. There's lots of other links at the Facebook page. You can listen to the show directly on your smartphone using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, etc., etc., all those podcast distribution apps. If you want, please send us an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. So we'll close the way we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan, using regulation, investment, and a price on carbon to safeguard our collective future. So, Andrea, thank you so very much for being with us today. It's a fascinating discussion. I really appreciate you taking
thank
the time.
Thank you. I'm very, very pleased to be on, and this is only my second ever podcast, so I appreciate it.
You did a great job. And thanks to everyone for listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.